For that. Okay, now we can begin, I think. Yes. All right, we have two classes left, so this is not the grand finale where I give all the nasty sucking. That's not until next Tuesday. But in the last two classes, as we said from the beginning, we just want to talk a little bit about Shabbos, because Shabbos comes up oftentimes in the kitchen, and that's where a lot of the questions come from. So we'll just do the basic overview, and if people have specific questions that they're interested in, I'm sure they won't be shy about sharing them with me. According to the Torah, it's very simple. There are 39 malachas, 39 prohibited labors, and among those prohibited labors is what we call either baking or cooking, afia or bishul. And in the event that a person would go and take a loaf of bread and put it into the oven on Shabbos, that would be an Isser D'Oraisa. It would be biblically prohibited, and theoretically one could get the death penalty for it. It's very serious. I would encourage you not to do it. That is, if you really do Bishul B'Shabbos. If you take a raw chicken, if you cook it on Shabbos, that is what's called Bishul. That is a problem according to the Torah. The definition of bishul, however, is different for different things. So the two major categories, as people are probably familiar with, there are liquids and solids, and liquid and solids don't always have the same rules. If I am cooking something, so how cooked is cooked? So when it comes to cooking a solid, it has to be, the cooked is what's called kema'achal ben drusai. Like the cooking of the ben drusais. Who are the ben drusais? The ben drusais were ganovim. And because they were ganavim, they were always moving very quickly, so they would cook their food a bare minimum. And once they cooked it, once it was edible, they would eat it and move on because they didn't want to have a fire out in public because then they could get caught. What is that practically? So that is a machlokas. This is two opinions in the Rishonim. Some people say it's a third cooked, and some people say that it's a half cooked. Right, so some people say a half-baked idea, that is considered baked enough, and the other people say a third baked. Now, it's very, on the one hand, there is a difference between the two of them, but it's very hard to quantify. Right? When you can buy these rolls in the King Supers that we like a lot that are 80% baked, and then you go and you just bake the last 20%, and people are fooled into thinking that you baked bread, and it's very yummy, etc. Right? So, but how do you really quantify what's half-baked, what's a third-baked? It's very difficult to tell the difference. Practically, what we do is we assume that if it's edible, that is a problem. Now, this minimum is important for several reasons. The reason that you would think, which is probably the less practical of the two reasons, is because, well, if I put in something raw and I'm cooking it on Shabbos, so if I put in something raw and I took it out when it was a quarter baked or a quarter cooked, theoretically, I wouldn't have violated Shabbos. Now, of course, that's not that practical because who wants to do that? The more important ramification for this is based on a rule that we have in the cooking on Shabbos, which is ein bishul achar bishul. Once something is cooked, it can't be more cooked. I mean, if I have a food that is totally cooked, I have a kugel, I have baked chicken, anything like this, once I have it and once it is cooked, I can, at least according to the Torah, take it and put it back in the oven, put it back on the fire, do whatever it is, because once something is cooked, it can't become cooked again. That is what's called ein bishul achar bishul. There's no cooking after cooking. So how cooked is cooked? So edible is cooked enough. So that's really why it's more important. Once something is kema'achal ben drusai, once something has reached that level, whether it's a third cooked or a half cooked, but one way or the other, once it's edible, at that point, according to the Torah, at least, we'll see according to the Rabbanon, you have other problems, there is no problem cooking it some more. So that is the basic when it comes to solids. When it comes to liquids, however, so it's a little bit of a different story. Right? When it comes to cooking a liquid, there's no such thing as half-cooked or a third-cooked. If I am going to take a kettle of water and put it on the flame, it's either cooked or not cooked. There is no half-cooked to talk of. So therefore, there are different rules when it comes to liquids. Liquids, for that to be considered cooked, it has to be a level of yad soled espo. What does yad soled espo? It literally means if your hand touched it, you would pull back. How hot is that? So there are different opinions. Some people say 104 degrees. Some people say 110 degrees. Some people say 113 degrees. Some people say 120 degrees. These are all possibilities out there. And it's interesting where these numbers come out from. The Gemara tells us, actually, how hot is Yad Soledes? It's the temperature that if you'd pour this liquid on the baby's stomach, it would burn. We would not encourage people to do scientific studies trying to figure out what Yad Soledes is, right? We try to use secondary ways of coming up with a number without harming any young children. But that is considered Yad Soledes. Well, therefore, if I was going to heat up a liquid in such a way that it would never get that high, that would not be a problem. But I could take cold water and heat it to 80 degrees, 90 degrees, right, up to about 100 degrees. And everyone would agree that that was not a violation of the Shabbos. So if I would take a kettle of water and, I don't know, put it on my radiator, right? So my water is never going to boil. It's going to warm up, but it's never going to boil. It's never going to even probably get that hot. Right? So if I take something that's chilled from the fridge, even if it's liquid, and I put it on something that's not going to get that hot, that's not a problem.
Even your blech, if your blech is set low enough?
So if your blech is set low enough that it cannot make the water higher than that, then you've got no problem. Now, we said, when we were discussing solids, we said the reason that I care about how cooked is cooked because of what we said was ein bishul achar bishul. Once something is cooked, it cannot be recooked. That's why Shabbos day, we'll discuss this probably more next week, if I want to heat up my potato kugel, I can take my potato kugel out of the fridge and put it right on the hot plate. No problems, because the potato kugel is totally cooked. However, I'm sure everyone here would tell me, well, what if I wanted to warm up the chicken soup? Why?
It's liquid.
So?
You're going to change states of matter.
What states? Before it was liquid beforehand, and now it's going to be?
Gas.
No, it's going to be liquid.
It's going to be liquid, right? No one wants to serve gaseous chicken soup.
It's going to be cold.
I wouldn't be that nervous if I was eating someplace else Friday night. But this idea of
gas. Don't worry, it's not Saturday.
You can
inhale. Right, but it's going to be gaseous, though.
You're going to inhale your soup, right?
Right. So, as people know, there is a difference when it comes to liquids. What people don't understand is it's not so simple that there is a difference. Right? There is a machlokas rishonim. There is a disagreement in the rishonim when we say that ein bishul achar bishul. That once something is cooked, you cannot cook it anymore. Does that only apply to solids, or does it even apply to liquids? So the Rambam and the Ran and the Rush all say it's by everything. According to the Rambam, according to the Rush, which are two of the three major poskim, I can take chicken soup out of my fridge and just heat it up on Shabbos. Now, the problem is, we don't follow that
right,
way.
Don't do that.
But the question is why, being that there are major opinions that say that way. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that, in fact, we don't follow those opinions. Even though those are fine, fine opinions, we follow the other opinions that say you cannot reheat liquids. That is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Cairo. In general, the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Cairo is followed by Svaradim. Ashkenazim, however, follow the opinion of
the
Rama. So the Rama, in fact, says that you can reheat liquids if it hasn't cooled down all the way.
What does all the way mean?
all the way means back to room temperature. So let's say, hypothetically, so we don't have this in our house, but Bobby and Zadie has this in this in their house. They have a chaynik, right? A chaynik is a tea kettle. And the tea kettle on Shabbos, they leave on the blech. And the water is boiling. So if Zadie wants a tea, so Bobby goes, gets the chaynik, and she goes, and she walks over, and she pours him the tea. And then she, then what does she do with it?
She puts it back on the blech.
She puts it back on the blech.
Without losing contact with it.
What?
Without losing contact.
She remains very close to it.
Right.
So why, wait a second. How is she, so when it was on the blech, the water was boiling. When she takes it off the blech,
it's not rolling, but it's hot.
It's hot, that's true. We wouldn't tell you to stick your tongue in there or
exactly.
anything.
Yeah,
but,
let it
bow. Right? But it does cool down in the time it takes to pour Zadie.
And go back.
Right. So how can she put it back on the fire? Isn't that a problem? What? So the idea is, it, so how much are you allowed to cool it down?
It's supposed to still be hot, isn't it?
Well, how hot is hot? Does it still have to be Yad Soledis Bo?
No.
So how hot would you go? So let's say it was 90 degrees. 80? 75? 60?
Still hot.
Can you add cold water to it? It won't make it cold, but it will make it just like lukewarm.
So when what am I adding my cold water to?
To the
tea? Yes. Or the china?
To the china. Because
right.
You know, after a while, you use it all up.
Right. Right. So the answer is no. We'll tell you why after.
Okay, that's maybe, a different problem.
Right. Well, no, it's a similar
you
problem.
You think that's similar?
Yeah.
That was a different problem.
No, it wouldn't cool it off totally, but what are you going to do?
You're cooking the cold water.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Heated
right.
cold
that's,
water.
That, you're going to have that problem with it. Right? So the Ramah says that as long as it's not room temperature, as long as it's above room temperature, but you get room temperature is what? Mid-70s?
Depends on whose house you're in.
And what season.
What? Well, it depends. You know, it's the Jacobs forget to put on the heat in the basement. You know, it's kind of like... Room temperature is like, what, 37? What?
You have your own thermostat.
Okay.
Depends on the room, depends on the season.
Right, so whatever the room temperature is. So the Ramah says that you can, in fact... reheat the liquid, assuming it hasn't gone down to that. So there was a question, well, what's the Ramah holding, really? Why is it that, where did that rule come from? Right? If there's a problem to heat the water, right, so it should be, once it goes beyond, below Yad Soledis Bo, once it drops below, let's say, 120 degrees, you shouldn't be allowed to do it. If it's not a problem, so let it cool down. What do I care? So that is a question, and a lot of people try to understand what the Ramah is saying.
So there's something also with not putting it down.
So we're going to discuss Hachzara.
Sorry.
Tomorrow.
I didn't mean it.
No, right? That's a rabbinic problem. We're just discussing the biblical problems at this point. We'll get to that. Hopefully all this into easy classes. Every family can just hold back on the aluminum foil. So there are different approaches. The Rav Moshe Feinstein is of the opinion that he thinks that really the Ramah says it's all fine. He holds that really that there's no problem whatsoever. That really technically you could reheat a liquid.
You mean that hasn't cooled down too much?
That has cooled down too much.
How about in the refrigerator?
Yes. He says that, again, technically, that he would think that you could do it.
It's not so problematic, just because it's completely reversible.
So let me ask you this question. So again, usually, so let's say you're a chemist. Let me ask you a question. So completely reversible. So if I took water and I put a chicken in it, and then I put some vegetables in it, and I put some spices in it, and I cooked it, what would happen to it?
The water becomes chicken soup.
It would become chicken soup. Now, I cool it down. What happens now?
It's still chicken soup cold.
So it hasn't reversed, has it?
No, it's just cold.
What do you mean by reverse? To water?
Water.
Well, again, reverse would mean it cools down and that becomes a chicken and some vegetables. That would be reversible, right? That's. So what I'm talking about heating the chicken soup for.
What about water?
Disgusting water, right? All right.
No,
what? Right. So again, so forgetting the chinuk, right? Most of the if you want to heat up food by Shabbos day, it's the chicken soup. Right, so that's the question. So according to Moshe Feinstein, really, it sounds like he thinks the Ramah holds that technically you could, in fact, take the chicken soup out of the fridge and heat it up the same way you're heating up the kugel.
But you said that it had to be warmer than room temperature.
That's what. So why? So the question: if the Ramah really holds that, why does he have to say it has to be warmer than room temperature? So he gives the following reason. So let's go back to the water now. Okay. So what's the difference between liquids and solids? So the simple answer is whether it's reversible or not, right? If I go and I take potatoes and onions and I grate them and I put in some salt and maybe a little egg, you know, and then I bake it together, I get a kugel. When it cools down, it doesn't revert back to potatoes and some onions. That doesn't happen. However, if I have water and I boil it and then it cools down, that does revert back to its original state of cold water. So the question is, so according to the Ramah, right, if I have water and I boiled the water, even if it cooled down, I should be able to reheat it. The problem is if someone's walking by, they have no way of knowing if this water has been cooked before or not. There's no telltale sign that it has been cooked.
Cooked water.
Right. The only way I could tell that it's been cooked before is if
it looks like soup.
It's warm.
It's got steam coming out.
Right. If it's got steam coming out, that would be a giveaway. So he says that. So according to the Ramah, the only reason it has to be warm is to indicate that it's been cooked before.
So
right.
Is this really a Moritz Ayin situation?
What? It might be something like that. It might be a way of, you know, or he's just telling the people themselves that, you know, if it's not warm, you can't, because people will get confused.
Yeah, yeah.
Because cooked water that cools down is darn similar to water that's never been cooked.
But the chicken soup is clearly...
We'll get to the chicken soup. Yes. Skull and crossbones. What? Right. So the assumption is when we say when something from Maris Ayin, afilu bechadre chadarim aser, right? So even if you were all alone by yourself, you still can't do it, right? So that's the idea. This is the logic behind it. But technically, it's not a problem. The whole reason it has to remain warm is just because of this. That's where Rav Moshe Feinstein is of the opinion. Other Achronim say no. The Ramah does not hold that way, right? The Ramah is just saying that we're a little bit more laid back on what's considered reversing. I mean, as long as it's still warm, it's still considered in its cooked state. And that's why you can do it. But if it loses that warmth, really, it's a problem. So here's a practical question, okay? Let's say I'm eating at somebody's house on Shabbos, and I know that all their food is kosher, and I know all their pots are kosher, but it seems that they're not that well-versed in the cooking on Shabbos rules. And they serve hot soup on Shabbos day. And it's liquid, not gaseous.
And it wasn't in the
right. What? No, it was in the regular pot. And I saw them, you know.
It could have been on the black.
I saw them take it out of the fridge.
Oh.
If it's on the black all night, I don't want to eat this soup.
Really?
That's nothing to do with halacha. It's like I touched that. Right? So she goes, right? So, the salmonella special you can keep. So you're going to take it out of. I see them put it on. Can I eat that? What? So again, even if it was, if you tell me that the whole reason that the Ramah said that I can't do it is because people will be confused, etc., the bottom line is they didn't do anything wrong in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. Right? Ein bishul achar bishul, it was cooked beforehand, and therefore it would still be good. If you tell me that, no, once it cools down, it's really a problem according to the Ramah, then I can't eat it either, not one way or the other. Now that's a major discussion, right? People think that the most worst thing you could do on Shabbos is to reheat the soup. The truth of the matter is, if you're an Ashkenazi, there's room to say that really, technically, it's okay. Now, because of that, we rely on that in several other cases. Whenever you could put two things together and say, you know, okay, I have a reason to allow this, plus add to that that really you might be able to reheat a liquid, then you're okay. So let me give you an example. Let's say I am in a... Let's go back to Bobby and Zadie. So Bobby and Zadie are eating together Friday night, and Bobby makes a tea for Zadie, and Zadie drinks his tea, and he loves it very much. It's a green tea. He really likes it. So he drinks his green tea, and then he says, ah, azah, green tea. So he turns around to Bobby and says, can I get a refill? What does Bobby do? She goes back, and she gets the chaynik. And she pours the water
into his cup.
Now, what's the difference between his cup now and before, and between the cup last time? Right. So it's
there's still some liquid in it?
Right. He doesn't lick it clean, Zadie. You know, he drinks it well, but you know. So is that a problem? Do we have to dry out the cup before you refill it?
How much?
Un poquito. What?
Covering the indentation of the cup.
Yeah, a few drops, whatever's left, and you usually finish the cup.
Or the ladle. You stand with the ladle. Mm-hmm.
Right.
For a few minutes,
well.
And comes back in to get a
So what would you say in that case?
Wait a minute. How about klish lishi?
What about klish lishi?
I mean, because you avoid it by klish lishi.
I think that's fine.
Reheating water is not so bad.
Right. Right, so Moshe Feinstein says you don't got to dry it out. Why? Because the little bit in there you don't care about. And besides, so you're going to heat up, but that the drops there we know were cooked before.
Right.
So therefore, putting together that maybe there's no bishul achar bishul when it comes to liquids, plus the fact that there is certain de minimis amount that you don't really care about, you put that together, and between all that, there is reason to be mekel. Svardim, on the other hand.
I was in camp working in the kitchen, and these Iranian guys that worked in the kitchen, and they used to wipe those ladles out.
Correct. Why? Now, why is that? Now, here we are. How many years out of Camp Chedva? 25 years, at least? Right? So now do you understand why the Iranians were and other people weren't? Right, because the Mechaber, right, the Shulchan Aruch, says that we hold that Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol, we follow the opinions that say it is problematic. As opposed to the Ramah, who has this somewhat of a head. They're saying that if it's still warm.
For Moshe's kind of putting words into Ramah's mouth by saying.
He's not putting any words into anybody's mouth.
The reason is that somebody might see it as opposed to the reason being fundamentally related to cooking. That's Ramah.
Correct. Right. He's understanding. He's not putting words in his mouth. He's just explaining why he insists that. Let me give you another case. Let's say I wanted to put a pat of margarine on my baked potato on Shabbos. What would you say about that? It would get heated. That's my hope.
It would melt.
That's my hope. That's why I put it there. I'm not looking for, you know, cold, chunky butter on my potato.
I think it's already cooked. I think the margarine is already cooked, or the butter if it's a dairy meal.
Well, what do you mean the butter's cooked?
Well, in other words, it's changing states. That's true. Mm-hmm. But the butter or the margarine is already, it's already been through its process of cooking, whatever.
So you're saying that
that broadly.
The milk was pasteurized?
Yeah.
Okay. So if the milk was pasteurized, but milk is a liquid.
And then
so what's butter? Is butter a liquid or a solid here?
It's a solid.
It's been curdled, emulsified,
yeah.
But when I put on the potato, what's going to happen to it?
It melts.
And that's going to be a liquid. It's not going to sublimate. It's going to become a liquid. So the...
Depends on how much therapy it's had.
It's true. So there you're dealing with the case. If this was a solid, right? If this was a solid, then we wouldn't have a problem, right? If it was cooked beforehand and it's a solid, then ein bishel acha bishel. If it's a liquid, then maybe we have a problem. But this is tricky because, yes, it's a solid when I put it on, but it's going to be a liquid. But it's been cooked before, but it's been cooked when? As a liquid. It's been cooked as a liquid, made into a solid, and so we become a liquid again.
So it's going back to its original state?
Right, so the question is, so if you tell me it's a solid, well, then I'm okay. But only if I count the cooking, which was done as a liquid.
Does it matter that when you put it on, the actual active thing you're doing is just fine because it's a solid then?
Right, but if you tell me that a solid has to be cooked as a solid, then it's not fine. So Rav Moshe says again, so even if you tell me, so there are people who argue, and they say, no, you can't put butter on your baked potato because the solid that you put on was never cooked. As opposed to Rav Moshe says, nah, you know, the fact that it was a liquid solid, it's close enough. You know, in fact, that's not a problem. You're allowed to do it. Right? Another place which we are, shall we say, a little bit more makel, perhaps, is there are certain things where it's tricky to tell, is it a solid or is it a liquid?
Ice.
Like if you have, let's say a cholent. So the cholent in Eidos.
It's solid.
It is a solid. Right?
That's interesting.
Right? It is undoubtedly a solid.
But you can think
about solid.
It's solid and liquid. The chicken in it, that is a solid.
No, but overall, chicken soup is a solid.
Mm-hmm. So give me a better example because I don't understand.
A goulash.
Stew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's liquidy.
Right, it's not solid.
Ratatouille.
Okay, now I get you. Okay.
Right. So again, it's the same idea. If there's a possibility, it might be a solid. And even if it's a liquid, right?
Well, it's a movable solid.
So wait, so you're saying that you can take a goulash out of the refrigerator and put it on the blech?
So again, there are people out there who would say that obviously, it depends how liquidy said goulash is, but there are people out there that are more lenient on this, given the fact that, you know, if there's a strong argument, it could be a solid, and even if it is a liquid, so it's a pre-cooked liquid, that you put that together, there are people, in fact, that would be more makel if you make holes in the pan. Yes? Right, so again... Right. So we assume if the gravy will be reabsorbed when you cook it, by and large, you're allowed to... That's considered a solid.
When you reheat it.
I mean, that you get a few drops, you're okay. So meaning that usually what you would do, if you take the chicken and then it congeals, when you reheat it, take off the gel, and there's going to be some left, but that some will get absorbed, and that's fine, practically.
But that's a lot less liquid than the goulash, if you're concerned about the congeal.
Right, so again, the idea being that I'm saying that there are opinions out there that are fine with it because of this idea how much it is. The problem also is that the one can make an argument that the gravy is not really part of the chicken.
Right.
As opposed to the goulash, it's all one big happy goulash.
Isn't there an argument about if you have chicken with a little gravy that you're focused on the chicken? You're not focused.
Right, that's why we tell you to take out the gravy if it's congealed. Just remove those chunks. It's probably healthier also. So. What? So it depends how liquidy it is. What I'm saying is that this, when considering that, this is something that, according to Rav Moshe, you can take into account. Rabbi Willig happens to disagree, but according to Rav Moshe, that is because of his idea that he believes that the Rama really is, at the end of the day, Mekel, that he, in fact, is lenient. Right. Nothing to talk about here.
What about something like lasagna, which in and of itself is solid, but you put it in the refrigerator, and the tomato saucy part is saucy. It's liquid.
I would think that lasagna, again, we don't do lasagna on Shabbos all that much, But I would think that it would be considered a solid.
Okay.
So that's the story. So this is the story of liquids and solids and reheating based on ein bishul achar bishul. There is a... Is that a hand?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So,
Chinook.
Yeah.
Yes. Why is, again? So again, assuming it's totally cooked, the noodles. Right. So again, that's no different than putting your chicken soup on your noodles. Right. So again, assuming that it's fully cooked. Now you're gonna now once we're on the topic, let's move to something that's very near and dear to that. What about putting the challah crumbs into the soup? So the
I don't think that's a problem.
Okay, that's one opinion.
Because,
so the
because they're already cooked.
Ah no, because your challah was never cooked.
My challah was never cooked.
Your challah was it was baked.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there is an opinion. So let's get to it. So the Mordechai quotes an opinion, and this is also quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, that talks about, we say, ein bishul achar bishul, that you can't cook something that's been cooked, but is there bishul achar afia? Basically, we assume that there are three types of cookings. There is cooking, there is baking, there is roasting. And the question is, just because something has been cooked, it can be re-cooked because it's been cooked already, but if something's been cooked, can it be baked? And if something has been baked, could it be cooked? For example, can you make toast on Shabbos? Why not?
Because that's baking on Shabbos.
But it's baked. It was bread beforehand.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
would you like to expand on that? Yeah, no. So
the
why?
Bread is cooked.
So 1 second, you were okay with me putting my
crumbs, the already baked crumbs, into my chicken soup,
even though they're going to get cooked in the chicken soup.
No, they're already baked.
Okay, but if they're so, you say once they're baked, you can't do anything more to them.
Correct.
But making them into toast, I can do. I mean, I can't do because that would be
exactly. I'm changing it to toast. I'm adding heat to that. I'm actually baking it or toasting it, as it were. On Shabbos.
So again...
Can I throw that piece of bread into the soup? Sure, I can throw the bread in, but I can't...
Can I make French toast?
No, not on Shabbos.
So what's the difference between making French toast and putting it into hot soup, which will cause it to cook?
No, the bread's already cooked.
Well, the eggs aren't cooked yet.
Right.
That you're going to use in your French toast.
Oh, okay, so...
So I assume it's more than roasting it. I'd go for the third category for toasting it. Right? So that is a machlokes. That is a machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch itself. The Shulchan Aruch says some say yesh bishul achar afia, and some say ein bishul achar afia. Some they say yes, and some they say no. So therefore, like everything else, being that there's a machlokes, in a perfect world we try to be machmir. We try to make everybody happy.
So we don't toast.
So therefore, according to that, there would be a problem, arguably, to put your challah crumbs into your soup. Theoretically. We'll discuss a little bit more. There are other issues involved. But just because it's been baked already doesn't mean that it can't be cooked. Now, this, of course, comes up with croutons. So how do you make croutons?
You take bread and you toast it and then break it all up.
You roast it, basically. Bacon.
Right. So I originally baked my challah,
mm-hmm.
And now afterwards you could be frying it. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they.
It's just another. You're cutting it up and you're toasting it more. You're baking it more.
Right. So depending how you make it, that might be an issue. Now.
You mean for your soup.
For my soup, right? If I just want to eat croutons straight,
salad,
or put it in the salad, right? The salad is not a problem.
What
So, the osem, the soup mandel. We used to have a fellow who'd come to our house sometimes for Shabbos, and he worked for osem. So he used to bring back to that.
Because they're expensive.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I think they are. They're on the healthy list right after Grivenis. I think some place between Grivenis and Pacha, I think they fall out on the Weight Watchers list.
Chips.
What?
Right.
It's more unhealthy. Right. It's not quite as healthy as potato chips.
I'm saying not as healthy.
The kosher ones. So those were never baked. Those were cooked originally. Those are not baked. I don't think they have any real ingredients in them at all, actually. They're made out of, like, old Twinkies or something. I'm not sure. I'm not sure the exact way it works. Something like that. Some non-food item like that.
Styrofoam.
So we're going to have to... So the question about putting that in comes up to the... So, obviously, I can't take... We're going to have to learn some. We're trying to make a quick time here, so we're going to go through a new rule, right? So obviously, when we think about cooking something, let's say I want to fry an egg. So how do I do that? I take my frying pan, I put it on the oven, and I crack the egg onto the frying pan.
Stove.
Fine.
He does a lot of
the that. Okay, I put it onto that. Okay. The frying pan is called a kli rishon al ha'esh. That is definitely bishul. What if I did as follows? What if I took my frying pan, I put it on the
on
the bonfire, and then afterwards I took it off, and then I cracked an egg on it, and I cooked it. Would that be a problem?
Probably for Shabbat.
For Shabbat, yes. Could I make my eggs that way? No. Because a kli rishon is a problem. So everyone agrees with that. That a kli rishon, whether it is al ha'esh, on the fire, or not al ha'esh, that is mevashel. That can cook something. I cannot put something raw into it, for it may cook. The next level down is what's called iroi kli rishon. So let's take one of those tradition soups. Right.
Go back to the Chinese.
No. We're on our ramen noodles right now.
Ramen.
Okay. So go. What?
The Dead Sea.
Yes.
Correct. I've not seen those.
What?
Uh-huh. Right. It says enough sodium for your life. Serving size a half. So, in that case, right? Am I allowed to take my hot water and pour it onto the noodles to cook it?
On Shabbos?
On Shabbos. The assumption is on Tuesdays, yes. At least for Shabbos purposes. So you're nodding no.
I'm saying no.
So that is a discussion. That's called Iroi Kli Rishon. Iroi Kli Rishon.
That's really hot.
To pour. Pouring out of a Kli Rishon. That is a discussion whether it cooks or not. And there are three opinions here, oddly enough. One opinion is yes. One opinion is
no.
And the third opinion is
maybe.
It's sort of, right? Right? One opinion says Iroi Kli Rishon is like a Kli Rishon, right? My taking boiling water and pouring on something is the same thing as cracking the eggs into the frying pan that was just heated. The second one is no, Iroi Kli Rishon is like a Kli Sheni, which we're about to discuss, a second-hand pot, and that, in fact, would be allowed.
But not a Yirui. Doesn't make it a Kli Sheni.
Yes, it does, according to this opinion. Right? Because an Yirui Kli Rishon is something between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni.
Okay.
So an Yirui Kli Rishon, right, according to one opinion, is like a Kli Rishon. According to the second opinion, it's like a Kli Sheni. And according to the third opinion, it's right in the middle. So it means that it is mevashel, but only a kedei klipa, meaning that it will cook, but only the outer layer. It will not cook through. It will only cook the outer layer. So in general, that would be a problem, except for one notable case, it would be okay. And that would be baby's bottles. If I want to heat a baby's bottle, and I want to heat it by pouring boiling water on it. So I take formula, let's say, I put it in a bottle, and now can I pour on Shabbos boiling water on the bottle to heat up the milk?
Do you mean on the bottle or in the bottle?
On the bottle.
Okay. Because you said formula, and I think a formula is dry. That's why I was
Right. Right. What? So again, according to the opinion that says it's like a kli rishon, you have a problem. If you say it's a kli sheni, it's not a problem. If you say it's just mevashel kadei klipa, it only cooks the outer edge, then it's okay because the outer edge here is
the
a plastic bottle that that's not a foodstuff, and therefore it's not a problem, right? So this would be a case where it made a difference. So according to that, how do we follow in this case? We say in this case that it's definitely not a kli sheni. According to some opinions, it's a kli rishon, and some people it's kadei klipa. Now, that becomes important for another reason, un-Shabbos related. So let's say I had a granite countertop. Then I would be the happiest man in the world. And it would come, and it's Pesach. And I want to kosher my granite countertop. Okay? Can I kosher it with Eroi Kli Rishon?
Yes.
Pouring
yes. water
I
on it.
I sure hope so.
Yep. Yes, you can.
Anyone else want to have us Friday night? So it's the same question. If you tell me that Eroi Kli Rishon is like a Kli Rishon, then you're okay.
But we're koshering. We're not cooking. What are you
well, again, what type of water do I need to kosher something?
Cooking water,
boiling water.
Hot water.
So again, the fact that it was boiling in the pot, does it become less boiling when I pour it out of the pot?
Not much.
Is that a yes? Don't make me lawyer you. Right, so that's the question. You know, when we talk about Eroi Kli Rishon, so again, on Shabbos, you want to say, yeah, you pour it out, it's much less, it's not a problem anymore. As opposed for koshering, you're going to say, same thing, it's just as hot, not a problem. Right? Those are the two sides of this coin, right? The koshering versus the Shabbos. Again, if you assume it's still hot enough, then you can kosher, but you got a problem on Shabbos. If you say, no, once it comes out.
The OU God says to kosher that way, but they have a problem with the Shabbat part.
I don't know. It's not a problem.
Exactly. That's the point. If it's hot enough, it's hot enough for
right. Good point.
Mm-hmm. So it works out, in fact.
And it's like,
according to your tradition soup, wouldn't that be a kli sheni?
Well, no, because it hits the noodles before it hits the kli, right? That's your problem here.
The situation with the baby bottle, if it's just heating the bottle, why are you doing it?
Because it's cooking the bottle, but it's heating everything else as well.
It's warm
right?
In the milk.
You don't want to serve a baby boiling milk. You should take notes, Jenny. You don't want to serve. Okay? Note!
If one holds that it's not boiling anymore when you pour in the granite, then those people would only use a steamer? Is that what they would do?
I think what they do is they have a hot piece of metal that they pour it on. By the granite. I think that's what they do, practically. Yes.
Pour the water in and you say that's not good because it hits the noodles before it actually hits the...
No, that is a problem.
No, it is a problem. Cause
right,
it,
right.
So what happens show. If you take that soup, you put it in like a paper plate, you pour water into the cup, and then you pour the... Put the noodles in there.
So again, you'll get a mess because
okay.
I don't know what you put it on a paper plate for.
No, don't worry.
Okay. Always comes down to Nelly.
That aluminum pan is
what why don't you just... So mind if I play with the case a little bit? You'll tell me if it's okay. How about we pour it into a mug and then we put it into the old thing instead of pouring it on a paper plate?
Whatever.
Okay. Right, so that would be a cliche-ny, right? And that and cliche-ny... Right, so cliche-ny, which is the next thing we're about to discuss. So let's try to get in a little cliche-ny now. Now, in that case, okay, so Michelle wants a tradition soup. And she's okay with the salt, it's fine. So she goes and she pours... so she pours some of the chinik into her mug, right? So again, that so the mug would be a...
Kli Rishon.
What?
Kli Sheni.
Right, and then from there she's going to go and either
put the noodles in
from the plate, or else if she doesn't want to do that, she can just pour it into the next. What's the story with a Kli Sheni? Is a Kli Sheni Mevashel? The Gemara says no. A Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. It doesn't say anything questionable at all. It says Kli Sheni Eino Mevashel. And it sounds like that based on that a Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. That's what it really sounds like. It sounds like once you're up to a Kli Sheni, you could do whatever you want at that point. Right? That you could go and take your pour the Kli Sheni and then throw in raw food. You could do whatever you want at that point, it sounds like.
You could pour your soup into another pot.
No, that's not going to make it into a Kli Sheni. You have to take the hot thing, the heating thing, and put it in. But you can keep on pouring your chicken soup into new pots, and all you're going to get are more dirty pots.
Right.
Which, again, not, you should be taking notes. Not a goal of Shabbos, more dirty pots. Again, there's a little bit of a home ec involved in this also. So that's what the Gemara says. The Kli Sheni Einu Mevashel, that's what we hold out. However, here's where things get a little wacky. The Gemara then says that there are exceptions to the rule. Very few exceptions, right? The Gemara seems to indicate that sardines, it sounds like, small fish, are from the Kali Habishel. Meaning that there are certain things that easily cook. So therefore, if I would have these sardines, it's fish. Little fishies, goldfish, and I would go and put them into a Kli Sheni, right? And then I wanted to pledge for the frat, then that would be a problem because it is from the Kali Habishel. Now the Gemara lists only three things that are Kali Habishel.
The fish, the tea.
Does not mention tea leaves. Does not mention tea leaves, right? It gives three odd cases, three types of a Spanish fish. It gives you, something salted.
Yeah.
It gives a very, very, very limited list. That list, right? And then it gives a list of things that are clearly not Kali Habishel. Ginger is very much not Kali Habishel, the Gemara says. Okay. The question is, so is it everything but the stuff that's on the it's definitely not list? Or is it everything that's not on the list is not in the Kali Habishel? That is a question. So that's where tea comes in. So tea, really, so how do we make tea nowadays? You take it, again, we have the chinuk, we have Bobby, we have Zadie's cup, right? Bobby pours in the water, Zadie takes his green tea leaves, and he puts it in there. So the water in the cup is a Kli
Sheni.
Right? Naturally, because the chinuk is a Kli Rishon, it's a Kli Sheni. You take the tea leaves, you put them in, right? So, really, Kli Sheni Einu Mevashel, that's not a problem. You should be able to make tea on Shabbos. You should be able to pour water in, take your tea bag. Now, you wouldn't be able to put the tea bag in first, because then if I put the tea bag in first and then I pour the water, that would be
like the noodles.
Iroi Kli Rishon, right. So that would get into a different problem, right? Because Iroi Kli Rishon, that might be like a Kli Rishon, or it might be Mevashel, some of it. But assuming everything else, it should be fine to make tea like you do it on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You should be able to make it that way on Shabbos as well. However, all of a sudden people get nervous that maybe tea is from the Kali Habishel. The Gemara never said it's from the Kali Habishel, right? So, in fact, some people take a very expansive reading on this. Therefore, once you have the expansive reading, now you've got to come up with other ideas. So, Rav Moshe Feinstein has this idea that you should use a Kli Shlishi. Take your water, pour it into a mug. From that mug, pour it into another mug, and then you could do it. Right? Because there ain't no bishul in a Kli Shlishi.
Right?
That would be the reason for it. Other people disagree with Rav Moshe Feinstein, and they think, in fact, that a Kli Shlishi is Mevashel. as much as a cliche. Why should a cliche?
Cliche third.
Yes.
Is Mavasha?
Yes. Some people say that. How did Rav Moshe Feinstein make up this rule that cliche is not?
Is that where
Moshe
it started with Moshe Feinstein?
What? What? Everything, right. Again, as much as a cliche is. Right? So Aruch HaShulchan thinks that a cliche doesn't work.
We didn't have a
cliche. Oh, so that's where the T essence
is. Right, so therefore he's a supporter of the T essence. Yes.
We didn't have cliche in the 1800s? You're saying this is...
The idea, no, we didn't have people making tea that way. There were kalim, and you could pour from one to another.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Not a recent technology.
No, I get that. Is that the first time we start talking about it?
Right.
That's my question.
Right, so again, so in terms of making tea, yeah.
I had no idea.
In medieval times, people weren't talking about how to make tea.
Got it.
I think in Europe, they didn't have tea leaves in those days, if I had to guess.
Right. So if you hold that the shlishi is not cooking, then why couldn't you put the tea bag in first?
Well, because you'd have iroi klisheni, which might be like a klisheni.
The third one is still shani when you're pouring it in the shlishi.
So again, what do you want to do? So I'm going to pour my from my chinuk into the mug. Right?
But then from there into the cup.
Right, so you want to put the tea bag in and then pour on top of it?
I want to know why we can't.
So that wouldn't be klishishi, that would be iroi klisheni. It's being poured out of the second cup.
Oh.
And that might be like a klisheni, which is what I'm trying to avoid. Now, as the men have indicated, our time's just about up, but to be clear, so some people use tea essence, some people use a kli shlishi. Rav Herschel Schechter, this is how he makes tea. He takes a cup, he fills it up with hot water from the chinuk, then he puts in the tea bag. Like he does on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Because Rabbi Schechter and Rav Soloveitchik thought that tea leaves are not from the Kali HaBishel. So if they're not from the Kali HaBishel, kli shlishi is not a problem. So that's the story. Now, what I was hoping to do, but we're going to have to wait till next week, is okay, let's bring it back now to the challah crumbs.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, what? So the challah crumbs, right? If I take the tea, I take my chicken soup, and I put it into a bowl, what is that bowl?
She had a ladle.
Ah, so that's a question. So the assumption is, well, the first time I use it, yes. But as I use it, particularly if it's metal, my ladle gets as hot as everything else. Right. So again, so in the event that it's a kli shlishi, according to Moshe, you say that yesh bishul achar afiyah, that there's a possibility of cooking the challahs, it doesn't really matter because this is a kli shlishi, nothing can get cooked
right.
In there.
Halachically cold.
Right, again, once you combine that with the fact that people who say that it's been totally baked, there's nothing to talk about, that would be as well. Also, when you're in camp, right, and they go from the big pot, they put it in the soup tureen, and then the soup tureen goes
to the table.
In those cases, you're also fine.
If it's not kalei habishul,
if it's not kalei habishul. But the question is, it happens to be bread, there happens to be particular concern that the bread is from the Kali HaBishul.
So what are the three things Kali HaBishul?
Oh,
can you just give us
that? Okay. All right.